History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Today we're speaking with Michael Barrett. He's the Transformation Ministries International Director. How are you, mate?
Good, mate.
Now tell us a little bit about your story. Whereabouts were you brought up in, and what kind of testimony do you have about coming to Christ?
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, I was, I was brought up in Brisbane. You know, I was brought up in a relatively middle-class family, reasonable Christian upbringing, but, you know, always really sort of a bit attracted to the rebellious side of life. You know, I went through high school and sort of put on a bit of weight, became a little chubby kid at school that everyone sort of likes to pick on. And my mum thought best to put me into karate, so I got into karate and became very good at it. Did that for about 8 years. I just thought I'll settle any arguments with my fists now. Developed my self-esteem out of karate. And then one day, out of the blue, this karate sensei that I looked up to and respected, he came around with a couple of syringes full of amphetamines and said, why don't you give this a go? You know, I've been using it and it's good fun. And so I gave it a go and I absolutely enjoyed it and sort of gave me this great high and feeling like I could conquer the world. And that just sent me on a spiral then for the next 6 years. I went deeper and deeper into addiction and ended up on all sorts of other drugs. And a consequence of that is I ended up giving up. You know, I was a full-time tradesman pastry chef and I gave up my career to become a full-time drug dealer instead. And that didn't work out too well for me. And it wasn't too long before, I hit a rock bottom and got myself into a rehabilitation program. It wasn't a Christian rehabilitation program, but, you know, it taught me some life skills and some psychology and helped me to sort of get on top of things. But, you know, I was always just missing something, you know. There was something in my heart I was missing. And I started drinking alcohol again and just started sort of spiraling downhill and was holding on by my fingertips and not to use my drug of choice, which was, of course, amphetamines and cocaine. I went on the search for God. And I went to 12-step meetings like Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous, and I just saw the 12 steps there as a pathway to God. So I went on the search for God. I went to Hare Krishna and Buddhism and all the Eastern religions because Christianity wasn't cool enough for me. But finally I got invited to a church, and I thought, oh, well, what can church do to me? I'll go along and check it out. I went to church and I was really closed off and I was judging everyone in the building and just thinking, what are these nutcases, you know? And, you know, I saw everyone so happy and I thought, they can't be this happy and not be on anything, you know? They've got to be on drugs or something. So I was a bit skeptical. But, you know, that week after I'd been at church, my week was better, you know? My week was fantastic. And I looked back over my week and I thought, what have I done differently? And the only thing I could put a dent to was I'd been to church. And I thought, well, if that's what makes my week better, I'm going to go back to church purely for selfish reasons. And, you know, little bit by little bit, God's love just started to pour into my heart. And one day the preacher asked if anyone would like to give their life to Jesus and have their sins washed away. That just sounded like an awesome invitation to me because I knew I was a sinner. I knew I'd done some really horrible things to people. And I went forward and I received Jesus into my heart never turned back, and that was in 1998.
So now you are involved in running a drug rehab and helping people get out of the same pit that you were in. So when you made that decision to come to Christ, did everyone notice the change in your life?
Oh, correct, yeah. They just, you know, my family started to notice the son that they'd lost and, you know, just a softening. And immediately, you know, all friends and everything, they saw the difference in me and they just couldn't believe it, you know. And I mean, they started sort of saying, oh, well, this is a bit of a fad. It's going to wear off, you know. This is just a new thing that Mick's doing. You know, we'll see how long this lasts. But, you know, they saw it last and last and me, you know, change more and more and then want, you know, really have a passion to help people after that.
Michael, talking about your family, I'm a mum, and hearing about your mum putting you into karate lessons, I mean, how did your family cope back in the beginning when you went from taking karate lessons to taking many other things?
Well, I guess they didn't really put those two together because on the outward appearance, it seemed to do good things for me because I was disciplined then and I started to really have direction. I was entering competitions and winning and everything and coming home with these trophies.
So there was a physical confidence, a mental confidence?
Yeah, all that. And I wasn't really aggressive while I was doing karate. It was more sort of as I hit the street scene and took those drugs. And I don't think my parents really knew until later that there was a connection between the two.
And did you ever learn how to catch a fly with chopsticks?
Yeah, no, haven't done that one yet. I saw it on Karate Kid. I thought I'd give it a go. But, you know.
I love that. Ah, grasshopper, catch this fly with his chopsticks. Very good. Okay, but obviously that did help you with your discipline and, you know, your confidence. Right. But then the downward spiral into drugs, did you have many opportunities? You know how the Bible says that there is no temptation that seizes you, that God won't provide a way out. Did you think there was many opportunities for you to get out of that drug scene and you just ignored God until that final time?
Absolutely. You know, look, I said I grew up in a Christian household. I was born again when I was about 8 years old. And I made a decision for Christ back then. You know, I really didn't understand the whole meaning and discipled, and I wasn't, you know, filled with the Holy Spirit in regards to just having an understanding of that. But God never left me. He was always trying to pull me out. He's always saying he was there. He saved me, saved my life from many circumstances where I should have been dead, and told me that he was there through that. And you know, it was only a matter of time until I laid down my arrogance and my pride and stopped thinking I was God to turn my life over to him.
You know, I heard an interview recently with Pastor Ted Haggard. He's the guy in the States who had a mega church and then made some very foolish decisions and fell from grace, basically. But he shared in an interview recently that while he was in that hell, in those pits, doing those horrible things, he said he got an understanding of what the prodigal son story was about because the father ran to the son and put on his robe, put on a ring, and ran to him and rescued him. He said that's he'd always preached that we had to run to the father, but really the father was running after him. Is that what you found in your circumstance, that the father dragged you out and chased after you?
Absolutely. You know, like I could see that the whole thing was a path and that God, one part of the story that I didn't tell because I was trying to sweep through quickly and give it a bit of an overview, but one of the things that happened was the reason I initially went into rehabilitation was because my family did what's called an addict intervention on me.
Oh, right. I've heard about those.
Yeah, it's kind of a surprise party for the addict.
And, wow.
You know, they get there and all their relatives and friends around, they're ready to confront them about their drug use. But it's really done in love, and there's a lot of tears, and it's a very emotional time. But it's really bringing a crossroads. And, you know, that was God intervening and God chasing after me and God saying, you've come, you've gone too far, you know, this far, you're not going to go any further, and I'm going to rescue you. And, you know, he pulled me, plucked me out. And even doing a secular rehabilitation program, I think that was part of his will, so that I would learn that side of things and then get saved and then put the two together. I'd done rehab. I came into the church and I saw this awesome thing and I just joined the two together and I thought, you know, we need a spirit-filled rehabilitation program.
Michael, I'm impressed here, just reading. It says here, fueled by a passion to see broken humanity taken from the scrap heap of life. I mean, you're talking about that within your own life. And given a second chance in life for yourself and your team, you've now put together this program, the Transformations program, which is obviously more than just a program. You know, you not only provide accommodation, but you're now introducing group sessions and practical teaching for others who may be going through the same thing that you once experienced. Tell us a little bit more about what you're currently doing now.
One thing I saw is that, you know, I was bringing drug addicts and alcoholics in off the street and introducing them to Jesus because I'd found this great thing and I thought, you know, you guys have got to find out about this too. But I saw the back door as big as the front door.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you'd get these Christians that just read the Good Samaritan and they take these drug addicts and alcoholics into their house and then wake up and their stereo equipment was gone.
Mm.
And then they'd kick them out as quick as they took them in, you know. And it was sort of almost like a modern-day leper situation.
Yep.
Where, you know, the drug addicts infect everything they touch and, you know, no one wants to go near them because they're going to get burnt. And I saw the need for a program in the church that was going to get real success. And so we started Humble Beginnings in 1999 with a little house, which we developed a very minimal program with what I'd learnt from doing our rehab program, and then bought Christian principles and Bible teaching. And one of the principles of ours is, you know, that we have a midweek meeting where we just allow God to be God. We call it the soaking meeting, where they just come in and just soak up the Holy Spirit. Over time, we've developed that, and over 10 years, we developed into really a full-blown drug and alcohol rehabilitation program where Queensland Health now recognises us and puts them in their specialist drug and alcohol treatment directory. Although we started set out really to be a discipleship program, it now is both. It's discipleship and drug and alcohol rehab. And what we're doing now is that we've developed sort of as a bit of a franchise to bless local churches with. So Transformation Ministries International is the overall body that helps to establish new transformations with other churches. So we're just like a hand in a glove with the church, helping them to get the local church to get good results in rehabilitation.
Mate, I love reading the testimonies that you've got listed here. I had a look through them and it just brings a tear to your eye to see the lives that have been transformed. There's one here at the top from Christian. He was a 23-year-old drug addict who'd been taking drugs since he was 15. When he came to you guys, he'd had a drug-induced psychosis and was totally convinced that he was actually Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And Christian's been healed of the psychosis.
Yeah.
Off drugs for now about 5 years, and he now has a full-time job and is a supervisor in one of the 5 transformation homes. That must make you want to get out of bed every day when you see stories like that, hey?
Yeah, it's just one life changed makes it all worthwhile. But yeah, we've, by the grace of God, we've had incredible results. We have actually a documented 75% success rate of those who finish the program. Mm. So 3/4 of them stay clean, and you know, we documented that over 10 years. So
now you and I had a discussion recently. I bumped into you at a conference. That's how we first met. And we were talking about how there are some drug rehabs like Sherwood Cliffs in Coffs Harbour, where I used to be involved with.
Yep.
And they take all the drug addicts out of town into a farm, and they make them work hard, and you know, they have a very high success rate. Mm. But then one of the problems is when they get back into society, they've been in this Christian bubble and they have trouble reintegrating. You guys take a different approach. You're right in the middle of surface paradise, in the middle of underbelly territory, so to speak, and they have the temptation right at their doorstep, but still you have a massive success rate. Tell us about the difference in those two styles of drug rehabs.
Well, one is sort of like a big brother watching them. Like it's a very much a controlled environment where a lot of choices are made for them. What we believe in is helping them right from the beginning to start to make healthy choices, and teaching them that every choice that they have has a consequence. And we start off with little choices and helping them slowly, little bit by little bit, to make bigger choices in their life. You know, consequences will either be negative to them or other people, or positive to them and other people. And so we're a very empowering model. We believe in helping them to have that freedom to make those choices, and, you know, seeing Christ form from the inside out rather than the outside in.
And I think, you know, I mean, the name of your ministry, Transformations, you know, it is one of the best evidences of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The number of people that have been impacted by the gospel, got set free from drugs, and are now out there making the world a better place, you know, that's really, in essence, what the gospel's all about, isn't it?
Right. You know, there's enough evil in the world.
Mm.
And we're taking some of Satan's best workers.
Yeah.
And, and making them into to great workers for God that are rescuing people literally from the clutches of hell.
Well, we've been talking with Michael Barrett, the Director of Transformation Ministries International. The website to go to is transformation.net.au. They're based at the Gold Coast. They've got a whole bunch of campuses all around Australia and Malaysia. And, mate, I reckon you're History Maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate.
God bless you in all that you're doing.
Thank you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels, and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry, and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater, and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.